Brothers and sisters, our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Let us listen for the word of the Lord together. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Many times when we read this section of Luke, it is easy to get caught up in the stories of Jesus, the illustrations that he gives, and lose sight of the larger picture he is trying to convey. It is true with our pericope today. Verses 28 through 32 give two examples of a person in power getting ready to make an important decision. First must take time to consider all the implications. What does that have to do with the teaching at the start, when Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." And then he gives these illustrations about powerful people preparing, contemplating, planning. Sometimes it is hard to see how these things are connected up. "I have found a good rule of thumb. When in doubt, look for wisdom about idolatry. Anything that stands between us and God, anything that distracts us, that enwraps us and involves us, is idolatry." And once upon a time, our Calvinist forebears were quite strict about this. And in various times in the church's history, people were told they could not play games, they could not sing, they could not dance, they could not go to certain places or talk to certain people, all because they must not get distracted. They must not be given chances for idolatry and temptation to get between them and God. In this situation today, who Jesus is talking to, the issues that are at hand. He has become famous, and people are worshiping him and coming to him for healing and wisdom because he's a rock star, right? He's all the fashionable rage to a certain extent. He's a rebel, and people know that he is getting himself in trouble with the powers that be, and it cannot be long, this great fame. And people want to be around to see what's going to happen. And Jesus turns to them and he says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." I hope that was a turn off for the groupies. I hope they heard that and said, "He's crazy. I'm not going to hate my mother and my father. I'm not going to hate my children, my wife, my husband, just to follow him. What kind of weird edict is that?" Jesus was talking about prioritizing what is important. Being in touch with the rock star, having the best things, making an idolatrous outlet out of the Son of God, unacceptable to Jesus. Nowadays, in our church, we know full well that Jesus is saying, "I must be central. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven." That is what calls disciples. "Those who hear that call will follow me," says Jesus. Giving up everything means giving up everything to God. What returns to us will be blessed and good. The things that we hoard for ourselves are things that God asks us to give up. "So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." Possessions are a giant symbol of what it is in your life that's distracting you from God. I know some people who have a lot of possessions that are a whole collection of godly items in their homes. Statues of saints and beautiful crosses. And I sometimes wonder, is that good? And I don't know. But God will lead you to know. This church has a long and joyful tradition of giving up much of its budget to serve God, of laying out to the congregation joyful opportunities, of doing truly responsible stewardship around here. It has been such a pleasure to see the progress of people's giving and contributing to this congregation. I don't know anything about the money, but I see the participants and I hear the people. I know that you are all praying. You come together in service with such joyfulness. Money is a part of that, of course. Money is a possession. When it is given to the church, that is a huge show of trust and faith in God and faith in the honesty of this church. And that is a healthy sacrifice. I had the most wonderful opportunity to witness a gift coming into this church this last week, a sizable check of money with the directions to please go buy school supplies and get them to the children that need them. And two of our church members were like, filled with laughter and delight at the opportunity to go and spend this money. And they diligently collected coupons and looked at the newspapers and figured out exactly where the best sales were on these things so that they could get the most amount of stuff for this gift. To honor this man's gift, to honor God, to look out for the children who need these things. And it was pure pleasure for me to watch from a distance as they went and accomplished everything they needed to, and more, and on sale. It was such a blessing, such a shot in the arm. Brothers and sisters, never doubt that God is moving through this church, extending wonderful gifts into every area of this ministry, and giving great nurturing power to all of you who love God and long to see this ministry successfully speak to the world of the mercy and love of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.